If these walls could talk, the secrets they may tell, perhaps of our ancestors or relatives, or the family who once lived in this place before. They can, you know. You can get those walls to talk. It's called genealogy for the home. Dr. Christine Wybrew is the expert. She is from Heritage New Zealand. So naturally, she has a fascination, histories of homes. She's started giving How to Research Your House seminars, sort of like Ancestry.com, but with bricks. Christine, welcome.
Kia ora, as we say in New Zealand. Nice to be with you, Jonathan.
This is a wonderful bit of sort of citizen historianship.
Indeed. Yeah, I really like that idea of citizen historians. Let's all take on the world. Yeah, that's a really nice way of putting it.
Not every house, of course, has, you know, a profound history, but I guess if you look at the place around you, you'll get a sense of whether this is just 10 minutes old or whether it goes back a little bit longer than that.
The essence of it is that every building was made by someone for someone, regardless of a building being 150 years old or 5 years old. They all have stories to tell. Choices have been made in when a building was constructed, for whom it was constructed, how much did it cost, what style did they choose, what materials did they choose, how did they lay out the floor area. So these are small stories. These aren't necessarily world-changing stories. Of course, some buildings are more significant than others, as you suggest. But history, and particularly the history of our urban areas and our neighbourhoods, are made up of these collections of small stories. These are what give our neighbourhoods their texture and their grain. And these aren't necessarily stories that government agencies like Heritage New Zealand Pōhiri Taonga need to tell. These are the stories that people who live in those neighbourhoods and live in those homes, they're their stories. So what we're encouraging through these How to Research Your House seminars is to equip people with the tools to research their own homes and their own environments.
And it's a way of, you know, honouring that past. And in a world in which, you know, so much is disposable, so much is just taken on the surface, you know, we knock over buildings all the time. These things are sort of seen as increasingly disposable. Perhaps if we knew a little bit more about them, we might treat them with more care and respect.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jonathan. And in the work that I do at Heritage New Zealand Pōhiri Taonga, when we're advocating for the retention of a building, it's often too late. If you're dealing with an owner who doesn't appreciate the heritage that they own in that building, then it's too late to persuade them otherwise. In my ideal world, we would stop looking at regulation and actually start looking at promoting an appreciation for heritage.
We're talking in your instance, you know, that the tools that you can describe are in the New Zealand setting, but I imagine there's a fair bit of commonality across the Tasman.
Oh, look, I think so. And we're so fortunate these days that history has gone online. There are so many historical resources for the study of history that are available online that you can do this research from your own home in your pajamas if you choose to. And the most essential tool is a computer or even just a smartphone. There's basic records around property ownership are an essential place to start. They'll be common to Australian homeowners as well as to us in New Zealand. Things like survey plans and old maps, often libraries or archives have sources of those. Local councils, regional councils, your state governments, they'll have probably GIS systems that people can use. Really what you're looking for is to be able to find a name of someone associated with these places. And once you find a name, then you can start diving into those sources that are more common for genealogical research. So, you know, hop on to ancestry.com and look up the electoral rolls and the census records, the post office directories, the phone directories. We have a wonderful resource in New Zealand too called Papers Past, which is digitised copies of old newspapers. And I think Trove in Australia
same thing.
Yeah, so once you've got a name associated with a place, that's when you can get into the really good stories about people who lived in those places and the history of the house as well often.
I mean, even in my experience, I live in a suburb of Melbourne, and my house is late 1880s, 1890s.
Wow.
And just looking in those newspaper records for that address, you find people advertising for tenants. You find people advertising for domestic help. You know, there is this extraordinary, you know, in the most unlikely of places for places of that age, I guess, this chain of events and people.
Yeah, that's right. And I think from those sort of incidental records, you can actually put flesh on the bones, to be crass.
Yes.
It's where you can actually understand the incidental details as individual people rather than just as names. And we had that experience at one of the properties that we own and care for at Heritage New Zealand, Pōhiri Taonga, Kate Shepherd House in Ilam. It's the former home of the leader of the New Zealand suffrage movement in Ilam Christchurch. And yeah, we recently opened that up to the public. And in preparing for that, we undertook some research in the newspapers, as we advocate that people do. And we found all sorts of incidental details, like she advertised in 1900 that she'd lost her pet parrot. Well, how about that? The leader of New Zealand suffrage movement had a pet parrot. We also know that she had not one but two servants. We know that she sold her bicycle, having bought a new one.
there's things
like that, which we, as I say, we start to understand her as a person rather than as a symbol on our $10 note. As you say, it's those details, advertising for tenants, advertising for servants, that lost and found notices are great too, but we get to see how people live in their houses, makes a difference.
Stories of people and attaching those stories to place, which is always a wonderful thing. Was there a particular, did you start looking at your own house? How did you become interested in this?
Oh, well, my own house isn't a great example. We built it 5 years ago, but
you probably know a fair bit about that then, I suspect.
I know really quite a lot about it. But I think, if someone was to look at this in the future, it would still tell the story about the priorities of my wee family at the time that we built it and our tastes. But I think I probably got into this after the earthquakes of 2011 and 2012 in Christchurch. We were experiencing what seemed like an enormous loss of our built heritage. But I knew that we really weren't losing our history. We weren't losing our stories. We were just losing those tangible reminders of
the manifestation.
And so what happened was, I won't bore you with the details of New Zealand archaeological legislation, but there were earthquake damaged buildings that needed to be demolished. And under the archaeology laws in New Zealand, if a building was constructed prior to 1900, an archaeologist is required to record that building at its demolition to monitor it and record it as an archaeological site. So to do that, we had to identify the places that were built prior to 1900. And generally, we had to get in front of the diggers and do that in a hurry. So I found myself working with our archaeologists to research places throughout Christchurch, which we'd never even thought about before, places that weren't on the New Zealand Heritage List or hadn't been identified by the council as being of heritage significance. But I started to discover these stories of Christchurch and stories of our neighbourhoods that we didn't know at all before, and started thinking, wow, these are stories that we can capture now and try to sort of keep some of these layers of history within our suburbs. And from that, we started to encourage these stories to be told in the rebuild of the city as well. But yeah, it's hard to keep a loud voice with so many priorities trying to get a city up and running again.
Of course.
But we've still kept these histories, and we find moments to tell them and to surface these stories.
The stories, of course, may not always be good.
I suppose not.
you may reveal the hideous remains of half a dozen people in the basement of this home, which that kind
hopefully
of thing.
Not.
No, hopefully that would be a rare occurrence. but that's the risk, isn't it, with investigation of the past, that it may not necessarily be a good story.
Yeah, I think it is, and particularly if you're looking at newspapers, you know, what is going to get reported? It's not always going to be the good news. And in historic newspaper records particularly, you know, that is where the death notices occur. And you know, yes, death is often associated with places in history. But homes are where people live. There's all manner of life experiences
where people
that,
are born
that happen
as much
in
as
these
die.
Places.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's sad things as well as happy things. And, you know, that is the texture of life. And, you know, for some people, that will be an unpleasant discovery. But for others, they may just take comfort in knowing that there has been a cycle of life that's happened in a place before they lived there with their family. So I think, I hope in some way that it deepens the experience of living in a home.
The great commonality between your country and ours is, of course, that they have a pre-colonial history. They have a pre-settlement
Indeed.
History. I mean, that's a deep thing then to unlock, and that piece of land, what took place in this country before these houses were built, before this land was appropriated by settlers.
Yeah, and that is a really important thing that we investigate at Heritage New Zealand Pōhere Taonga. We celebrate the layers of history at places, and unlocking that history, and with permission from Tangata Whenua, we tell those stories. So we're fortunate where I live in the South Island. Our iwi Naitahu have created a website called Kahuru Manu, and it's a GIS, a mapping system that takes the kōrero traditional stories and locates them, you know, on a map of the South Island of New Zealand. It's a wonderful gift
tool,
from them.
Yeah.
And from that, it takes place names and offers an explanation of, you know, of what these names mean. It looks at waterways of significance and tells stories around that. You can also identify perhaps indigenous plant species that were at a location. There are, you know, there's all sorts of histories. Some of them are histories of conflict. Some of them are histories of, you know, great things that happened there. Stories of discovery, stories of interactions with the colonial settlers, which may not have gone so well. So, you know, I think that's just one tool we have to unlock these stories. But there's sort of simple things as well that are common to both New Zealand and Australia, looking at place names and looking at landforms. And, you know, these are things that can give us some indication of how life may have been lived here in the past.
And so important for settler societies to have that curiosity. It's an obligation,
yeah,
almost, I think.
It is an obligation. And it's a matter of making the space for these stories to be told and not presuming that one history supplants another, and that there is space for dual storytelling and acknowledging both experiences.
And becoming perhaps the united history of place, which is maybe
a lovely idea.
The dream. Christine, thank you. What richness we all inhabit just by standing
Indeed.
Still at a spot. That's a wonderful thing.
That's a lovely way of putting it. Just standing still and looking and thinking and wondering. And this work that we do is the detective work, and it's fun. And I hope other people enjoy it as much as I do.
Christine, we are duly inspired. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you, Jonathan.
Dr. Christine Wybrew, Heritage New Zealand is where you will find her. How to Research Your House is the seminars she runs. I suspect if you Google that about, you will find information. And yes, in the local Australian setting, many commonalities. This is Blueprint, Radio National.